opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning, this is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Friday, and it's not Carl and Linda. This is Trish Clark this morning, and I have in the studio with me Sue McClain.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're going to co-host with me this first hour. Today's Linda's birthday, so we're saying happy birthday, Linda, and Carl and Linda are off celebrating that. So I'm here this morning to kind of guide us through this last day of the week, and Sue and I are going to be talking about a bunch of different things.
Exactly. And the Downtown Chamber of Commerce is putting on something special. We've got lots of residents and business members that are going to show up today. The Reading Chamber, Viva Downtown, K2 Development Companies are having the public celebration, a block party, the Market Street Steam Whistle Inauguration Block Party. And that is from 4 to 8 today at Market and Butte Streets.
Oh, fantastic.
So the whistle's going to go off at 5, but the party starts at 4. Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be, absolutely. So it's about 50 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. We're looking for a high today of 76, a low of 50. On Saturday, a high of 80 and a low of 55. Sunday, a high of 84, a low of 57. Monday, a high of 88, and Monday night, a low of 58. 85 on Tuesday. Not looking like getting into the 90s anytime soon, and that's okay with me. They can hang right around in these wonderful, cool evenings. In fact, it was right down cold last night. The wind came up, and I just only had the window open just a tiny bit. Slept like a log. I love that. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. We're joined in the studio this first 15 minutes by Haven Humane Society.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good seeing you guys.
And we have flicking my ankle.
I have a little wild one today. She's quite the spark plug.
Yeah, she is. She's cute as a button.
She is cute as a button. She's got that going for her, at least. So I have with me Callie. And Callie is a very sweet, sweet girl. She is under a year, so she's very much still a puppy. She is really, you know, wanting to chew on things like puppies seem, you know, puppies tend to do. So this little lady is looking for an active home. She has met dogs at the shelter and has done okay with other dogs. She might be a lot for like an older dog. They might not appreciate her rambunctious behavior. But if you, you know, have another playful dog, she might be a very good addition to your home. She actually met a cat and was oddly, very afraid of it. So, she might do well with felines if they don't pick on her, because she was a little bit scared of it. So, yeah, Callie is super, super sweet. Like I said, under a year. So, you know, puppy.
What kind of a puppy is she?
We have her listed as a border collie puppy because I'm not sure. She's kind of an odd little mix, but she's only about 40 pounds. She's kind of on the smaller side. I don't foresee her getting much bigger,
okay,
which is good. So,
yeah.
She's a good, like, medium-sized dog.
Okay. Yeah. Okay with kids, you think?
Yeah. I think as long as they're, you know, rambunctious enough to keep up with her, then they should be fine. As long as, you know, they aren't, you know, worried about getting knocked down and rough play, then they will be great with her.
Yeah, she wants to move at this point.
She wants to move.
But that's puppy.
A lot of energy.
Yeah, she really does. She just comes in the room and, yeah.
The world is ready to go.
She's very vocal as well. It's one of those things about, she's a talker. And when she gets really excited, she kind of just goes, rawr, 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 rawr. And first time I heard it, I'm like, is she growling at me? What is she doing? And then I realized she's just letting it out. She's just talking.
Having a conversation.
She gets excited. And she just starts just talking. So,
so tell us what's going on, Haven Humane, now with things kind of opening up. You're back joining us, which we're glad.
Are all back to being together as like a full-time group. We are still doing adoptions by appointment. Throughout this, you know, we've learned a lot of different things and what works for us, and even, you know, post-pandemic, whatever it may be, we'll probably keep doing adoptions by appointment for a while. It's been really successful for us. It definitely has worked out really well for us. And, and it gives people a lot more time to do one-on-one if there's not a big crowd of people and we're trying to, you know, answer questions. If it's just one person, you know, one family or two at a time, then we can really give them, like, more attention and really go over everything with them, so.
Well, and that's good, and that gives them an opportunity to see more of the animals.
Yeah.
And then spend time with them.
Yeah,
sure.
get better acquainted and really make, you know, the best decision for them and for their family. So, you know, we're not just looking for homes. We're looking for good homes for everybody. We want to make sure that they're a fit, you know, that everyone works.
That is such a good idea to be able to do that. And, you know, there's some people that already have dogs, and they just want to make a donation.
Yeah.
So if they want to make a donation, what can they donate? Items or is it money? What would you prefer?
All of the above. No. So obviously we are always accepting monetary donations. This last year has been rough for us at Haven because most of our fundraising comes from events, large events that we have not been able to have. So we missed out on Bark, Wine, and Brew. We missed out, and that's our biggest fundraiser of the whole year.
Right.
So definitely that. We also have a wish list on our website, for things that we're always looking for. We're always in need of, right now it's kitten season, so we are asking if, you know, kitten formula, wet food, bottles, things like that. We have a wish list for both our nursery and just for the shelter in general, and that's this time of year, it's booming for kittens, so we always need extra kitten supplies.
Okay, so what is your website?
So it's havenhumane.org. You can also find us on Facebook. We are very active on social media, which is really nice because we're able to let people know kind of in real time what needs or what we're, you know, currently working on or what event we're looking forward to. So I would definitely follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well.
I know you have a golf tournament coming up in July.
We do. Yes, we have a golf tournament coming up in July. You can register teams for that now. We unfortunately last year lost a very big part of Haven, our controller. So instead of Putt for Paws, it's his memorial. It's the Daniel Zainine Memorial Golf Tournament. So this year is definitely going to be an emotional tournament for all of us, because he was a huge part of it every year. So,
and you can go to the website and get more information about how to sign up for that.
Yep,
not register. Too early to be registering your teams and getting them together.
Yes, definitely. And there's avid golfers out there that love doing it, but knowing that you're doing it for a good cause, you know, that's a big thing. Is this tournament is you know, for us and it's for the animals. So you get to go out and have fun and play golf with your friends, but really you're supporting us. So.
Right, and you don't have to be a good golfer to be in a tournament.
No.
You can just go out and be with your friends and help raise money for Haven.
Yeah, and it's a really fun day. It's even funner if you don't take it serious and you're not a good golfer. That's where the fun comes from.
Well, I have a hard time finding golf fun, but that's that's not my cup of tea. I did that for a long time and found it absolutely, totally frustrating. He finally said, this is not supposed to be frustrating. You're supposed to enjoy this. So probably golf is not my forte. Anyway.
It's not mine either, so it's okay.
So let me tell you, how many animals are available at this time? I know we go through cycles where we have lots and then we don't have so many. And
we have been maintaining a pretty low capacity at the moment. And it's been that way for a few months. We don't have a ton coming in. And we have them leaving quickly. So they're getting adopted really fast, but there's not a lot coming in at the same time. So, we're a little bit lower, but every little bit, you know, obviously helps. And just because we don't have a lot doesn't mean that the ones we have aren't, you know, needing a home. So.
Exactly. No, that's a good thing. I mean,
it's been a blessing for all of us for sure, because we can take a breath and breathe and really focus on, you know, other ways to market animals, and we've been doing a lot of fun or photo shoots and just really trying to, you know, showcase personalities.
Are we starting to get a handle on the cat situation? I know for a long time in Shasta County, we had a lot of cats.
Hopefully, yes. We see a lot of people participating in our TNR program, which is really good for us to see. So we do offer a trap, neuter, and release program for feral cats. And that's Monday through Thursday. It starts at 7 a.m. check-in. We only do so many a day, so it's kind of important you get there, you know. It's a limit of 2 cats per person per day. But it's definitely a service that is amazing, and that you can always donate to that program as well, because that makes such a huge difference for everyone in the community. That's why they called them community cats. They're not owned by anybody, but it is our job to make sure that we you know, maintain populations and make sure that we, you know, are giving them the best care from far away that we can.
So basically how that works is somebody comes to you and they get a trap.
Yep.
And then they can take it home, and when they get the animal in it, they can bring it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will neuter it?
Yep, spay or neuter, we ear tip and do a rabies vaccine.
Okay, and so, and then they can, then the cats are put back out.
Yes, because that controls population.
Absolutely. So yeah. This isn't, for me, this is an important thing. I don't think real people realize, if you didn't live in a neighborhood where you were having a lot of the just stray cats around, they can be a real problem. And we all love our animals, but we don't always love other people's animals or animals that are just wandering.
Right, and that's why it's really important for sterilization as opposed to relocation. If you relocate, trap and move cats from a neighborhood, the only thing that's going to happen is that now there's more food for other cats to come in.
Uh-huh.
Cats are territorial, so you're just going to invite the same problem. If you sterilize them, the cats will stay where they're at, and they won't add to the population, which is, you know, ideally what you're looking for. You relocate them, you're just going to have more cats on your hands than you had previously. So,
yeah. Okay, so Callie, how do they get a hold of to see about Callie today? Your name's Amy.
Yes.
You're not Callie, you're Amy.
So you can give us a call at 241-1653. Like I said, we are doing adoptions by appointments. We usually have, you know, a couple same-day ones, so it's pretty easy to get, you know, a hold of us and get an appointment and get that scheduled.
All right. Thanks so much, Amy, for coming in.
Of course. Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
All right. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, Reading. Firearm dealer's choice when it comes to selecting the new long gun or pistol, having your gunsmith work on your guns, or buying ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Give them a call at Bastiani Arms, 222-8222. We'll be right back after these messages.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Bring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean is a family-owned business. They offer only the highest quality service. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, offers only the highest quality safes, delivery, moving, and repair service available. They carry several brands, including High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few. High Noble has gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Okay, and welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, free fire radio for the North State. You got something you'd like to talk about? Give us a call at 605-4567. Again, it's Friday, and if you've just tuned in, you're going, oh, what's going on here? Well, Carl and Linda are not here today. This is Trish Clark, and I have Sue McLean in the studio with me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm the news director here. I'm also the sales manager at KCNR, so I can help you out. But I'm just happy to be here. Thanks, Trish, for having me.
And today she's radio host with me. And we're just going to talk about a few things. One of the things that I've been dealing with, and I'm kind of curious to know if this is just a luck of the draw kind of thing for me, or if this is something that's happened as a result of so many people working from home with large businesses. For the last, five, 6 months, it seems like I've been threatened with cancellation at the Frontier Senior Center with every kind of thing, from insurance, the workman's comp insurance, my business insurance for the center and for the thrift store, issues with the tax people, sales tax, charitable trust. And when I get into the conversations, as I'm trying to figure out what happened, because in every instance, my payroll person, my volunteer treasurer, have filed the proper paperwork and have done it in a timely manner, have paid the checks. Things have been lost in the mail. When we finally can get somebody that we can talk to, we find out they're usually working from home. They don't have access to all of the records that they really need. They immediately cop an attitude. Like, obviously, it's not their problem. It's something you need to solve. And of course, the other thing is, because I'm the designated person on all these policies, I'm not the one that does the work. So when they start asking me questions about payroll and this and that and the other, and did I file this form, and I'm not probably going to have that answer available when I try to get the other people to call. Like the gal that does the payroll, they won't talk to her because she's not listed on the policy. So I guess I'm saying a lot of frustration, a lot of time. Sometimes it takes two or three phone calls, two or three weeks to settle these issues. Mm-hmm. And in every case, it has turned out, as an example, the last one was with, State Compensation Fund. And after, I don't know how many phone calls, finally got a hold of someone, and I authorized Diane to talk to them. I gave them that information. And she finally, so Diane said to her, well, exactly how did you credit our account with the money, show it paid, without getting the form? And the gal said, yeah, good question. We wouldn't have. Exactly.
Right.
So you already had the information. You lost it. And yet they don't want to admit that. And in each case they have shared, finally, if you get a person who's a real person, that they're a little frustrated too, because they are working from home, don't have access to all the information. Not everybody's entering the stuff in the database on a regular basis. So I'm just kind of curious, is other people having these same issues?
Oh, I'm sure. If you're having those kind of issues, you're not alone, because I can't tell you how many businesses I have called that it goes to, you know, press one to talk to such and such, press two to talk, and then it just keeps traveling you know, and you can't, eventually you'll get to a real person. You have to be very patient, or you're on hold for such an excessive amount of time. And usually, you know, when I have called looking for information a lot of times, because I'm also the news director, that, you know, I know I'll be on hold for half an hour.
Yeah.
I know if I'm calling them, I need to give myself an hour just to sit on hold.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're not alone. With so many people working at home through COVID, that things have changed dramatically, that people have to be more patient, and that you have to keep calling back and be persistent, because a lot of it is people just give up. And then they're like, okay, well, send me the forms. You figure it out. And if you want your money, you get a hold of me. Because I've done my due diligence trying to get a hold of you, and you're not calling me back.
The problem, and what I'm kind of concerned about now is because you develop, I know my own personal stuff, I'm always concerned about my credit rating. So we've gone 25 years with the Frontier Senior Center, always having a good reputation about paying bills and what have you. And I'm wondering now, after this surge of cancellation notices from every agency in the world, is that showing up on my record that I'm on the Frontier Senior Center as we're a bad risk now because we don't pay our bills and we don't file our paperwork? Or, you know, the last conversation I had with the Charitable Trust, you'd have thought they were talking from somebody that just got out of San Quentin. I mean, she was so rude. I said so, and it was all about the fact that she wants a copy of the IRS file that I file with the federal government, the state charitable trust thing. And I said, so why don't you get it from them? Well, they won't give it to me, but she wants me to have, you know, so I finally photocopied this whole thing. I send it to her. And I still got another notice that she didn't get it, and they were going to do this and that. Of course, we're dealing with our nonprofit status. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are big issues. I mean, I lose sleep over all of this stuff every time. Oh my God, what am I going to, you know? And, you know, it takes forever to straighten them out.
Right. I think the credit reporting in general is going to have to change just because we went through COVID-19 and how many people have had their credit affected, and how many people won't be able to purchase a home or get credit because of, you know, circumstances beyond their control.
I think that's true. So I get in this instance, it isn't personal. Thank God it's not my own personal stuff. That's
right. But I'm just bringing that in.
Yeah.
Business owners, restaurant owners that had to close.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you just think of all these people who had these businesses for years and years. And even though the big box stores and those giant corporations were able to stay open, the little guys were closed.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm thinking, you know, when have you ever heard of anybody getting it from a store, you know, and bringing it home? I haven't heard of one. And I'm sure it has happened. But the fact is, when small businesses were forced to close and they still kept the big businesses and those big box stores having record years, you know, there has to be something to do. They have to do something with credit.
Yeah.
That issue has to be addressed one way or another.
You know, I think that's probably true because, as you indicate, that's a whole nother subject, the whole thing about, I think if you talk about COVID and tracing it, the only traceable, obviously if they could trace it to a certain situation, they would. The only ones you've heard about are large family gatherings, things they didn't want to happen.
Senior care facilities.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, you really haven't seen anything traced back to a source.
Well, and you think how many more people go into these big box stores? And how many fewer people go into the smaller mom and pop shops? And that's
a lot fewer because most of them are
exactly
closed.
Exactly. So hopefully the credit issue will be cleared up. But I know what you're talking about as far as, you know, what you're going through right now. There's no way you could be alone in that.
I swear to goodness. And Chris, you have to understand that the Frontier Senior Center is all volunteers. There's only, we have one paid employee. We get no government funding. So it's just a group of people who come together, do a good job of, but timely filing of the, you know, the treasurer. I do hire someone to do the payroll and the taxes because those are important things. But, it's just very frustrating to us. And I get to the point where I know every time I walk in there, I go, okay, Janie, what are you going to hit me with today? You know, it's like, oh yeah. So anyway, it is frustrating. And I wonder, if these, I know that the reason I really brought it up is because people are talking about, okay, they've figured out that a lot of these big companies can work from home. They're not going to have these huge corporate offices, which is going to be a huge impact, I think, on places like Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, where they have all of these big corporate places where it's very expensive to live. Mm-hmm. And now they're learning that maybe they don't need all those storefront properties with the huge overhead, and they can have a lot of their employees working almost anywhere.
Right.
At more reasonable rent that they pay. I think you're going to see a lot of that. How is that going to impact? So hopefully, they're going to work the bugs out of the system if they're going to do that.
Right. And, you know, for all the people that had moved out of the big cities, you know, during COVID, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, it looks like people are now just now moving back because you either love the city or you don't. But it also opens up all kinds of opportunities to basically live anywhere in the world and still work for that corporation. So what are they going to do with all these buildings? You know, I get new homes, new residences, apartment buildings. You know, it'll be curious to see, you know, how they're going to handle that, because it's definitely changed, you know, the way we work.
The way we do business is going to change for sure. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community Bank is a community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the very highest level of personal service. Cornerstone has three branches serving Shasta and Takema counties, one in Red Bluff, one on California Street, and one in Cypress Avenue in Redding. They are excited. You can also visit them online at cornerstonebankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank invites you to experience how they are moving local dreams forward. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support, as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. It's Friday. It's about 7:35 in the morning, about 56 degrees in downtown Reading. The weather's always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show is brought to us by Estate Granite. Estate Granite, Mike at Estate Granite, has been custom altering homes in Shasta County and beyond since 2004. 16 years in the same location off Caterpillar Drive. I know he did Carl and Linda's cabinets, and they're absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. He comes in, he takes over, and since they're spending more time at home, it's a great time to do some touch-ups on your home and what have you. Trust in whom you invite into your home, he's one of the good guys. Mike works by appointment only, so call to set up a consultation. Get 241-STONE, Stone.
Yes, they do a terrific job. Hey, if you're looking for something to do tonight, the Reading Chamber of Commerce is doing something special. They're getting ready to flip the switch for the first time on the lighted mural dubbed Electric Alley, starting at 8 o'clock tonight with local artist Jack Burgess, who will be present to share in this special event. You are invited, and it's Art Alley. And you can stop by, check it out tonight, and they're going to blow the whistle. Remember, the event starts at 4, and then they're going to blow the whistle, the steam whistle that's been just part of the Shasta County Heritage forever.
Okay, is it going to be a regular schedule for whistle blowing? I mean, are they going to blow that?
It's usually 5 o'clock every Friday.
Okay.
So, and this is just kind of a celebration, you know, just to kind of draw attention to it that, you know, the weekend's here and now we're having weekends again because with everybody working at home, it really didn't feel for some people that the weekend was actually here because a lot of people just didn't have that, you know, that feeling of relief.
You're not going any place. There's nothing going on.
Now we are, though. We're opening. Yeah, things are happening, rocking and rolling. And we just, you know, get out, celebrate. We just had a huge success at the rodeo. And, you know, we're just going to see so many events happening. And it's just so good to see people. I mean, I can get stuck in conversations for hours because it's so nice, you know, and people will stop me and carry on. And this is just a great way where you can see friends maybe you haven't seen in a long time.
You know, and this weekend, for everybody interested in, there's so much to see going on down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. There's a logging conference going on, demonstrations every day, all kinds of activities for the kids, demonstrations, things to learn, seminars, stuff going on every day, and it's free to come in, wander around, take a look. Everybody's welcome, and that's going on all weekend down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds.
The logging conference.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to go to the phones. We've got a phone call. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, listen, Eric McGraney was on Wednesday, and I called up and I pitched the idea of about five or six of these northern counties pitching in and taking over the prison they're shutting down over there in Susanville. It's the fire camp part of the prison. And, you know, there's no reason why old Newsom wouldn't give us that, in my opinion. What are they going to do? They're going to let it sit and just fall down like they did Crystal Creek?
Yes.
That being said, you know, six or eight or ten counties went into that and split the funding for it. They could house all these warehouse prisoners that don't have prison dates over there and open up a whole bunch of prison or jail cells locally right now. And, you know, Eric McGreeny poo-pooed it. He says, well, I don't want to get into a situation to where you get so many cells and we get so many cells, and I would rather keep it local here and we have build our own jail. And you know what? These people aren't looking for a solution to our crime problems.
Well,
how do you feel about that? Trish, how can we get that going?
Well, you know, Nick, I didn't hear the show on Wednesday, so this is a cold topic. I mean, just a new topic to me right out of nowhere. But it certainly seems like it'd be worth exploring. I think you're right. Certainly Crystal Creek was a really successful story, and there was a lot of reasons that went away, not the least of which is we didn't own the land. And
well, let me brief the people on Crystal Creek. 55 years ago or more, I went up there as a little leaguer and played a baseball game with the inmates up there. Crystal Creek was an honors camp. That was for people, low-level prisoners who didn't have much time left, and they went up there, and it was a wonderful facility. And the state decided to close that down, so the county took it over. And I remember the county was housing low-level inmates up there. A friend of mine got 90 days up there for DUI. And he told me, he said if they paid a little better, he'd stay up there full-time. And then it went to where they were having juvenile offenders up there, and they were taking them out and doing community projects and teaching them how to work. They were down here at my house fixing a ditch that the city of Reading wouldn't keep up a couple of times, and it was a really good deal, and they shut that down. And it was a wonderful facility, and they just let it go to heck. You know, the rats took over, probably the bears moved.
Well, again, the county didn't own that facility. The state owned that facility.
The state did.
Yeah.
And the state gave it back to Whiskey Town.
Yeah. Nick, to be honest, it's not going to happen. You can't get 10 people to agree on one thing, especially due to the cost. Well, especially due to the cost, because you're saying you're trying to get 10 counties. Isn't that what you said? Oh, I thought you said 10.
Five or six.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought I heard 10. So say five or six. We get five or six counties to even consider it, the cost, and manpower. Who's going to man this?
Manpower's already over there. It would just be the cost. What's it costing us to house them now?
That's a good question. You're the one that called. Why don't you tell me?
It's costing way too much, and we've got a facility there built waiting for us. What's the state going to do, let it fall down the way they did Crystal Creek?
Yes, they will.
I'm looking for optimists, not
pessimists. No, it's great, but it's a wonderful idea. It is a wonderful concept, and if there was a way to push this thing forward, I'm all for it. But
well, why don't you help us find a way to push it forward instead of...
Well, then maybe we should sit down and talk about it. Then I'll absolutely do that with you. But if you're asking... If they would even, I don't know if they would consider it. I mean, they closed down that other one. Do you really think that they're going to want to open another one here in the county? I don't know, but we could certainly.
I don't even want to fix the problem myself. We keep pointing out problems to them, and they don't even want to take an attempt to fix any of the problems.
Right. So we will sit down, and I'll see what I can do. What do you think?
Maybe we could make it a homeless shelter. We could ship all our homeless.
Now we're getting way off course.
You know, Nick.
Nick, thank you so much for calling.
No, I think, well, don't hang up on me. I think it's a great idea. I pitched it to Bruce Ross, and, you know, we as citizens, we need to start pushing our ideas towards them, because it's obvious to me if we wait for them to hear the problem, the problem's only going to get worse.
Well, but when we come up with, certainly we can all identify problems, Nick, and we do that on a regular basis. We need to come up with some solutions to go with them sometimes.
And I just did, so let's figure out how to make it happen.
Well, and that's what...
Three supervisors that are getting recalled to jump on this and tell us what a good job they're doing, that they're going to make this happen.
Well, maybe that's a place to approach it. Certainly you've got to, you know, just having the idea and getting... I'm not arguing with you. I'm just simply stating that you've got to be able to get the sheriffs, the people that are elected, those people that can actually do something to make it happen. You've got to get them to buy into it, because otherwise it's not going to happen.
Sheriff, not an appointed sheriff, and the reason I called you is because You have the inside track, Trish. You have been in the county as a supervisor. You know how to push an idea like this forward.
Not with the staff that's there now and not with the board of supervisors that's there, and that's the problem. Because they're not interested in solving a lot of the problems that we've got. They're interested in earning their paycheck and getting through another term. I don't disagree with you, Nick, but I think that we've got to get some people with some ears in the group before we're going to be able to accomplish these things. Good
well,
idea, though.
Use the term earning their paycheck quite loosely there, in my opinion.
Well, perhaps getting their paycheck.
And there you go.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for calling. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Shasta County, my name is Melody Fowler, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures at local events, shops, and in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org today.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays, including your birthday, paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental, and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
I like your music.
She's got better days.
This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Sometimes I just get engrossed in listening to the song.
I love that. That's Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes. Classic.
Yeah, Betty Davis Eyes, absolutely. If you've got something you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 605-4567. This is Trish Clark this morning. Carl and Linda are out celebrating Linda's birthday, so a big happy birthday to Linda.
And I'm just keeping Trish company up until 8 o'clock. This is Sue McLean. I'm the news director, sales manager here at KCNR. We'd like to thank Nick for calling in. Trish and I were talking off air about, you know, Nick's position on how we should handle, you know, the closure of the fire training, you know, for prisoners, and that, you know, six counties should band together and do something about it.
You know, there was a time, and I will tell you that the Sheriff's Association up here used to be very active. We used to have meetings on a regular basis. I know Jim Pope used to host the sheriff's meeting. I used to go as a county supervisor or chairman of the board and welcome all the sheriffs to Shasta County. And they did talk about those mutual things. And we had mutual arrangements. I have to say I'm far enough removed now that I don't know that those programs are still available. I know that we used to have a lot of interagency things where the Reading Police Department, the Anderson Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, Highway Patrol, all of the agencies got together for several different things like FinTIF and different, you know, interagency narcotics task force, all kinds of different things that we did across the board and shared. I don't know how much of that stuff's still going on. And I think a lot of it is because, in my mind, the federal and the state government make up their mind what the money's going to go towards. And that's, in my opinion, where the problem is. We need to get back to local government being the hub of where we start. The decisions for the people being made at the local level, and then the funding being garnered to fill those needs. It goes the other way now. They decide at the federal level what the need is, and then they send the money down. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of why that doesn't make any sense. Early on in my career with the board, I served on a gang task force down in Sacramento. I went two meetings a month for a solid year and a half talking about, and this was when gangs were first becoming an issue up here. Supervisor Wilson was very involved in the whole gang task force thing, trying to nip it in the bud. And what we had up here were a certain kind of gang. So we were starting to see the signs of that. I spent, like I say, a year and a half going up and down that freeway, going to these meetings. At the end of that whole thing, they decided to come up with money, but it was all targeted towards Chicano gangs. Well, that wasn't our problem in Shasta County.
Oh,
we didn't have Chicano gangs. They had them in Los Angeles. They had them in the southern part of the state and the major cities. We didn't have that. We had some Asian gangs and we had some other things, but not Chicano gangs. So one size doesn't fit all. I had wasted my time basically, because we didn't get any money out of that gang task force money, even after all the time I'd spent going to those meetings. Again, the state as a whole decided what was good, as opposed to saying, hey, y'all got gang problems, here's some money to solve them, and let you decide where that money should go. That's kind of what's happening with all the money that comes from the federal and state government at this point. We get it if we do what they tell us to do, but we don't get it if we don't. And I don't know, perhaps what we're doing now in Shasta County, taking back control of our local people that we elected. They certainly have the right to recall people that are not doing what the people want. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not going to complain about that. I wish the process would go a little smoother. I don't like the fact that we've got attorneys on both sides fighting about this. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a very touchy issue, the recall. And going back to the figures, how much money is being spent.
Yeah.
You know, like, once again, Nick had called and wondered why we couldn't come up with an alternative for, you know, the closure of the prison firefighter training. And because we rely on them to come and help battle fires, and wondering, you know, who's going to fill that position. So we don't know. And that McGraney was, you know, spoke out about it. So
they kind of obviously did not support the idea.
Did not. No.
Yeah. Well, so. I you know, and I don't know, because they certainly, the fire I worked extended dispatch during fire season for many years, mm-hmm. and certainly those camps, they big part of firefighting in the North State.
Huge,
absolutely.
And now that we no longer have that big air tanker that would come in, mm-hmm. and I think that's just another, you know, something else that they've taken away from firefighting here.
Well, you know, having come from an aerial firefighting background, my husband was the air, North Zone air officer and a lead plane pilot for years.
Do tell.
And trained all of the lead plane pilots in the United States. So I kind of have a little understanding of that. Aerial firefighting could be a whole lot more effective if it was used the way it should be used for firefighting as opposed to appeasing the public. They want to see airplanes up on a fire. But a lot of times the airplanes flying on a fire are not accomplishing a great deal because they don't use them at the right times.
Oh, okay.
If you've got a going fire, dropping a load of retardant up in the middle of 25 of burning acres or whatever, yeah, not very effective. Initial attack, when the fire's laying down in the morning, get out there and hit it hard then, but that's not when they fly the airplanes. And this has been a constant battle for years. That great big airplane is probably not as effective as the several small airplanes at the right time.
Oh, I just have heard quite a few people, you know, argue that, hey, why don't we have that available?
Yeah.
And so, it is what it is. We're going to have to use the sources that we have. And people have to be more diligent when it comes to clearing around their homes.
Yeah.
Make sure their homes are accessible in the rural areas. And just better forest management.
Oh, but
if we had
it.
Better forest management, we would not have seen the wildfires. We need to get back to that. You know, yeah, invest in that, in clearing that undergrowth. That's what we need to do. We need to go in and do that. And that is my personal opinion.
Well, and what I was talking about with fire, obviously there's going to be people out there going to argue with me about that, but I can't tell you the number of times I heard my husband argue about, you know, and be frustrated by the fact that they would never let the airplanes up when it was calm mm-hmm. and early in the morning when they could be really effective and lay lines to keep the fire from going forward and really get in and help control it. And first, of course, the initial attack. If you can hit a fire when it first starts with that airplane, that's the best time. Put it out before it gets into 100 acres and thousands of acres. And,
right. And now that the fire season is almost year-round, you know, that's what we're running into. And we had two fires up there right behind, like on Lake Boulevard, near Masonic, a place very popular among the homeless. Two fires yesterday, same area.
Yeah,
so
it's going to get worse. And I think they've got a big fire going down in Southern California right now.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly with the lack of rainfall this year, it's only going to get worse, I'm sure. I'm not looking forward to this year.
Well, we just have to pray that, we don't see what we've seen in the past.
But. Well, and remind everyone that be careful as you're going along and when you're driving in your car, and if you are a smoker, please don't throw your cigarettes out. Watch those chains hanging off the boats as, you know, people go into the lake and they're hauling boats and trailers, and be real careful about stuff hanging off and hitting the freeway. Catalytic converters, don't be pulling off on the grass. All kinds of things we can do, and certainly keep your eyes peeled for those smokes coming from the homeless camps, because that's a problem. They continue to do the fire, mowing, all those things that we hear about every year, but for whatever reason, people continue to do them.
Yes, absolutely true, absolutely true.
As we sit here and go, geez, we shouldn't have to remind people of all these basic things, but somehow we continue to get fire started by all of the above.
Right, and hopefully we'll be able to get a handle on the homeless camps where those fires mainly start. Maybe clear those areas away a little bit better, and maybe that would help. But you know, what's the guarantee? There isn't one.
I know at this point in the city of Anderson, we have the Anderson Fire Protection District. They're busily out there working with the city and giving letters to people who have not mowed and who have not taken care to take care of their property. And if you don't do it, we'll go in and help you do it, and then we'll charge you back for it. You need to, if you've got areas that need to be taken care of, clean out those areas where the homeless can live, and it's important that these things happen.
Right, absolutely. And if you're heading out to the lakes this weekend, Whiskeytown, Shasta, or even thinking about rafting down the Sacramento River, kind of getting off topic,
please don't drink in boat, and remember your life jacket. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to go out because it's going to be such a beautiful, mild weekend. They are going to be hitting the waterways, and we want everybody to play it safe.
Absolutely. So next hour, we've got House of Realty coming up. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. It's Trish Clark this morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. So far, so good for the Israel-Hamas truce. It is holding, according to correspondent Joseph Krauss in Jerusalem.
A ceasefire took effect early on Friday after 11 days of heavy fighting between Israel and the Islamic militant group Hamas, which rules Gaza. The ceasefire seems to have stopped both the Palestinian rocket attacks and Israeli airstrikes. Things have been quiet since it took effect at 2 a.m.
But there have been clashes today between rock-throwing Palestinians and Israeli police in Jerusalem outside the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. The unrest following Friday prayers in the mosque. President Biden applauding the ceasefire.
The president welcomed news of the truce, which Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu confirmed in a phone call.
In my conversation with President Netanyahu, I commended him for the decision to bring the current hostilities to a close within less than 11 days.
Mr. Biden again expressed support for Israel's right of self-defense, even as he welcomed the end of hostilities. He also thanked Egypt's president, who will help monitor the truce. Greg Clugston, Washington.
South Korea's leader is visiting the White House today. What will Presidents Moon and Biden talk about?
We expect that North Korea will be a central topic of the discussion, of course, but they also will discuss climate. They will also discuss economic partnership. They will also discuss China.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Also today, President Biden will honor a retired Army colonel for his heroism during the Korean War. Colonel Ralph Puckett, Jr., to be awarded the Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry, recognized for his leadership and his courage on the battlefield in Korea back in 1950. On Wall Street right now, stocks in positive territory with the Dow up 275 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 5, and the S&P trading 19 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Through generations of fighting, anger, and pain, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is still one of the most contentious and misunderstood issues of our time, raising the question, is it possible to truly love your enemy? In the new film, Hope in the Holy Land, filmmaker Todd Moorhead discovers the truth behind the headlines and misinformation, with personal stories from Jews, Muslims, and Christians in their own words, offering a beautifully produced, politically nuanced, and morally sensitive look at both sides of the conflict. Bishop Kenneth Ulmer says the movie is embarrassingly enlightening. Ambassador Michael Oren calls it a candid, courageous journey through the complexities of the conflict. Hope in the Holy Land takes an honest look at the history and history in the making as you've never seen before. Don't miss Hope in the Holy Land. Available now at salemnow.com. Watch this film and pass it on. Go to salemnow.com today.
Thousands of Australian students have walked out of class in a protest to urge action on climate change. The BBC's Shaina Khalil is in Sydney.
Protesters, some marching in their school uniform, have called for a stop to new coal, oil and gas projects in Australia. They also said they wanted 100% renewable energy generation and exports by 2030, as well as clear plans for a transition away from fossil fuel jobs. Australia is one of the world's biggest carbon emitters per capita. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has faced sustained criticism over the government's climate policy.
Germany's health minister urging citizens to remain cautious as large parts of the country prepare to relax pandemic restrictions ahead of the Pentecost weekend. Still, the official says the fall in coronavirus cases, along with a steady rise in vaccination rates, are encouraging. News and analysis at townhall.com. A superhuman display of strength in a crisis.
A deputy in Virginia single-handedly lifted an overturned car to free a woman pinned underneath.
Deputy John Hull can be heard in his body camera recording telling dispatch that he found a car flipped upside down. The Gloucester County Sheriff's Office shared a clip on Tuesday. It shows Holt running to the vehicle where two children were trying to help their mother. She was trapped under the car with her head pinned by the sunroof. The deputy helps the child out of the car and then groans as he lifts the car off her head. Holt told WVEC-TV that he's just an average cop and that saving people is what we do. Keith Peters reporting.
Ford is forming a joint venture to build two North American factories that will make batteries for roughly 600,000 electric vehicles per year by the middle of this decade. And watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 258 points, the NASDAQ down 3 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And it's Friday. It's not Thursday. This is Trish Clark. If you're confused, you're going, oh, I've missed the day. What's going on? I'm a day late. No, it's Trish Clark this morning. I've got Gerald in the studio, and he's keeping me straight. Morning.
Good morning.
And if you'd like to join, you can give us a call at 605-4567. Carl and Linda are off today. It's Linda's birthday, so big happy birthday to Linda, and they're out celebrating. 75 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 75, a low of 51, sunny, and on Saturday, a high of 80 and a low of 54. On Sunday, a high of 84 and a low of 58. Monday, a high of 86, low of 57. Tuesday, 84 and 56, sunny. Wednesday, 89 and 58. So we're going to stay in those high 80s, clear through next week, clear to the end of the week. No rain inside, a little bit of cloudy. Got a little cool last night, but it looks like that's passing through. So the weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give seniors and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So, we're joined in the studio this morning with two of my favorite people and known for so many years and worked with and just enjoy having them there, House of Realty, Bruce Middleton and Cameron Middleton.
Good morning, Trish. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And we were just talking, and I'm just going to give a shout-out to one of my dear, dear friends, Diantha Reynolds, that works in your office. Good morning, Diantha. I haven't seen you in a while, but we need to get together. Just saying how I've known Diantha longer than I've probably known very many people in Reading.
One of the greatest ladies I know, and she's been at that office since I was knee-high to a duck when I would go in there to go see my grandfather. So,
wow. All right. Yeah. So that's great. So, wow, the real estate market, are you guys just booming. It can't keep it in the books.
It's incredible what's happening in all the years I've been doing this. 2006, 2007, we saw panic buying, but not like it is today. The inventory is down to, I think, 125 homes in the city of Reading.
Wow.
And generally there's multiple offers on every listing, and they don't last long. The other day, I think the state said that we could go ahead with open houses, finally, after this pandemic. But we kind of chuckled because if you list a house on Monday and plan an open house on Saturday, the house is already sold. So,
I thought about that because I recently had a friend who listed her house. And I mean, literally before the realtor could get everything done, she had multiple offers, yeah. and amazingly, $30,000 over asking price, and not just one of those, but a couple, three of them. And I thought, holy cow, you don't need to have any kind of an open house or much else. Just throw it out there and stand back.
We've had several sell for $50,000 or more, incoming folks that come from, you know, much higher priced areas. And they kind of want to know what's wrong with the property up here. They think the fault is here and not down in the Bay Area. They think something's wrong if it's this inexpensive.
Well, how brief has it been the appraisal? If you've got a house that you've determined is worth $300,000, and all of a sudden it's selling for $350,000, and you need that appraisal to make that deal work, how is that working?
Well, there's new benchmarks every day. As these homes close, the appraisers have those that are very, very recent. And we've only had a few that did not appraise. On the other hand, there's many, many cash buyers that don't even require an appraisal.
There you go.
So those sell, and those are new benchmarks as well. So it really hasn't been much of an issue. We've had, like I say, just a couple that didn't appraise. But generally, if there were six or seven offers and this person got it, they'll pay the difference between the appraisal and the purchase price to retain the deal.
Okay, so they can do that.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
The loan will go for the $300 or whatever that it was appraised
the
for.
The loan will go on the purchase price or the appraisal, whichever is lower. So people say, all right, I have to pay another $20,000 now, and I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but a lot of these cash buyers and whatever have made it fairly easy for the appraisers to get to that point. Yeah.
So, okay, so you've got that, but then you look at the person that is selling their house because it's a great market right now. If they want to stay in the area,
it's all relative.
That's such a good idea.
It's all relative. You're going to hit a home run when you sell, but you know you're going to pay the price when you buy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, and it really depends too in terms of how much, which direction you're going. We've got more competition at and less homes at the lower end than we do at the upper end.
Okay.
So depending upon where you're going, that does make a difference. Right now, on our total MLS, we have 387 homes. We've been a little bit lower than that, but that's essentially where we are. And keep in mind that a number of those are outside of the county. We have a reciprocal agreement with Tehama County. So Tehama County, some of those are okay. South Cottonwood, even, you know, Red Bluff, Las Molinas, but, south of the county line, one's off Bowman, for example. Within the city of Redding, there's only 162.
Wow.
And that's with a Redding address. So that's 01, 02, or 03 zip codes, some of which are actually outside the city limits. Anderson's 40. And again, that's anything with a, what, 007 zip code.
Yeah.
Which again, some of a good amount of those
are not actually in the incorporated city.
Within the incorporated city. So, and the interesting one is below 300,000. We only have 84 homes on the whole MLS.
Wow.
So that's a very reduced number. So people that are especially first time home buyers and others that are out looking in that particular range, it's difficult. And I can tell you too, a lot of these houses in that range under 300,000 aren't exactly, what's the best word, pristine. So there are some houses that are in serious need of repair, and I've had clients that I've shown in that $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 range trying to get into a good, you know, starter home or
yes.
something new, and especially single-income buyers, and they have a difficult time. They walk in and go, gosh, well, yeah, I might be able to go in and outbid the other 10 offers in the bidding war, but then I'm going to be looking at, you know, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more in repairs.
And that's easy to do. I mean, you know, you go in and redo a kitchen, you're talking $10,000, $15,000.
Easy. But the problem right now is that product costs have gone up. You look at lumber that it went over $1,700 a thousand here recently. I think it's dropped a little, but you know, it was $300 a year ago. And it doesn't matter what it is, everything has gone up. My nephew, Robbie, has Middleton Homes, which is part of our office, and I think he has 17 or 18 homes under construction. But he called the other day to get windows for three houses. They're 10 weeks out, and they wouldn't quote a price.
Wow.
You could tell them what they are today, but they're not going to be that 10 weeks from now. And we're seeing that across the board.
And you can't even lock the price in when you order them.
Well, and before you'd say, I'm building a 2,300 square foot home and these are the amenities and the price is going to be $519,500. We don't even quote anymore because the same house that he built 6 months ago and sold today is probably $50,000 more in material cost.
Yeah.
And labor's not going down either, and labor's hard to find.
All of the above makes for a seller's market, doesn't it? I just recently had a small amenity added in my backyard. I built a little greenhouse on the end of my patio. And in the process of that, from purchasing lumber 1 week and then turned right around, maybe a couple weeks later and needed another shelving area. And when my carpenter came back, he said, "You're not going to believe I paid $2 more for this board than for the ones I bought last week."
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. We've got a phone call. Well, no, you know what, Terry? Hang on. We're going to wait and come back after the break, because we're just getting ready to take a break. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelers, my favorite place to visit. 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. They have a complete selection of estate jewelry, Indian jewelry, a lot of stuff on consignment. And they make beautiful things. If you have something that you just are dying to have out with a certain stone, they can custom make that for you. So, visit them at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Best place to be. I always say that a girl cannot have too many diamonds or too many guns. We'll be right back after these messages.
Powerhouse Solar is looking for an experienced electrician, 10 years experience preferred, full-time, with benefits, retirement, and competitive pay. This is a family-owned company that provides a relaxed, pleasant work environment. Qualified candidates can apply in person at Powerhouse Solar on Caterpillar Road or email resumes to info@powerhousesolar.com.
Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. For this month, we're reviewing Arturo Fuentes Hemingway Classic. With curves of a supermodel, this Perfecto has a superbly balanced, toothy, and attenuated Cameroon wrapper, and pairs exquisitely with a complex filler and binder that indulges the palate with citrus, coffee, cocoa, and cedar. Come down to the shop for your Arturo Fuente Hemingway Classic today. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. 5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Powerhouse Solar is looking for an experienced electrician. 10 years experience preferred. Full-time, with benefits, retirement, and competitive pay. This is a family-owned company that provides a relaxed, pleasant work environment. Qualified candidates can apply in person at Powerhouse Solar on Caterpillar Road or email resumes to info@powerhousesolar.com.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you've got a call, get a question, give us a call at 605-4567. It's 54 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 76. We're going to go to the phones and talk to Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everybody. How you all doing?
Good.
Good. My daughter's in real estate in the Bay Area, and the homes there are, I don't have to tell these two guys, they're really outrageous. But right now, in Reading, it's amazing. All the prices, if you want to get something fixed, you're right, Trish. You guys are right that wood has gone up 200%. Steel's going up. It's hard to get things. I know that I was getting my car fixed the other day, and over at the Subaru dealership, they're even having a hard time getting cars. So I think we're in for a world of hurt as far as inflation goes, but the main thing is, if you're selling a house right now, it'll probably sell pretty quick. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
Oh, absolutely. With such a limited inventory and rates still being as low as they are, it's kind of a perfect storm. I mean, you talk about a seller's market. And I don't see that changing for a while. The inflation that you mentioned is what concerns me. We had a real big project. We had a letter of intent on, and I can't really talk about it much, but they were going to start their due diligence period here, and it's a large project, and they've asked for a 90-day stay just due to product cost. You know, something that might have cost, you know, $8 million might be $12 million. And, you know, and we're seeing that a lot, especially in commercial. People come up here, and between fees, permits, hookups, everything else, when you take a hard look at it and what has to be done, a lot of these just aren't viable and won't be for a while.
Yeah, I have just one more question, too. Do you guys think, I mean, when we had that housing bubble and the bubble burst, it seemed as if things were going up, homes were going up dramatically every day. I think that in Reading, at least in Shasta County, don't you think it's taken us a while to reach this where we are right now? In other words, it's taken a few years. It hasn't just sort of, you know, just boomed quickly to get the housing market going like it is. And you think that this will sustain as far as the pricing and real estate going up for a while?
Yeah, I think it will for a while. 2006, 2007, things peaked. And 5 years later, residential property in Reading had declined by 50%, which is enormous. But there was 1 year when Reading led the nation in appreciation, and it just went crazy. But once that recession really took hold, things dropped 50%. Back then, the guess was it would be 2025 before prices reached what they were in 2006, 2007. We're already above that. No one could have predicted this and whatever. And the pandemic allowing people to work from home, we've had a big influx of people from the Bay Area and elsewhere that want a quieter life and less traffic, less crime, et cetera. But I don't see it changing for a while. As these costs continue to go up, you're going to see less building, I think.
Well, I think, and isn't that the point? Yeah. I think what happened in 2006, 2007, there was still an inventory of homes.
Yeah.
And so you could force it back down. It may not continue to rise, but it's not going to tank like it did before, because there's no availability, and there's nobody going to be building an inventory anytime soon.
And you're right, Trish. In the end, it is supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And the big problem we have statewide, for a number of different reasons, is a supply problem. We don't have enough homes for the number of people that we have here. I think our California Association of Realtors assessment is that currently in the state of California, we're 2.5 million homes short. Now, what we're seeing here in Reading is we are seeing some more construction. We for a while there, we really only had one entity building homes in town. Mm-hmm. Now there are several others. We are starting to see more housing starts. As Vice Chairman of the City Planning Commission, I'm starting to see that we're going to start to have multiple subdivision maps, new subdivisions coming into, you know, into City Hall, trying to get approved and trying to do new developments. But this is going to be the problem, is that you have a number of new issues with regards to new construction. So you now have to have solar on every home. Every home has to have sprinklers. There are, you know, energy efficiency issues, other things. So we've mandated a number of conditions on these new homes being built. And with the prices going up, lumber literally has gone up by a factor of 5.
Oh, it's incredible.
So, and the waiting period is also a major issue. And that started to become a problem back in 05, 06, 07, where the real tipping point was, people forget, it was actually Hurricane Katrina. Everybody was out building a spec home, people that had no idea what lumber was, you know, how to build a house, but hey, I'm going to go build a spec home. And they took out construction loans. And the problem was that all the materials, they were already tight, and all the materials went to the Gulf. They went down to New Orleans and down to Louisiana and down to that area to help with the rebuild. And all of a sudden, they were waiting too long to get materials. They couldn't get the houses finaled, started to default on the construction loans. And then it became other loans. And then, we all know the underlying problems. But I think with these material cost issues, it's going to make it harder and harder to have that supply. And again, lumber's a good example, but copper's gone up. PVC piping, oh. Romex, electrical wiring is gotten absolutely outrageous. There's contractors in town buying huge amounts of Romex wiring simply so that they have it for the next 6 months to hedge on the cost increases. So, when you start to see this kind of thing happening, it becomes more difficult to build, more difficult to provide that supply, which would even out the market. I think the big risk we probably face is an increase in interest rates.
Yeah.
So if they really decide, hey, inflation is going up substantially and we need to raise rates to cool that off, that would be one thing that could start to bring some of this, back into
get it back
alignment.
Into a timid. Yeah. Thanks, Terry, for the call.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Good questions, Terry.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you.
Yeah. The interesting part of this, of course, you can't have this discussion without talking about the fact that supplies across the board.
Oh.
I don't care whether you're talking beauty supply places where you can't get nail polish. I mean, it's amazing. Wherever you go into the stores, whatever product you're looking for, and of course, this has to do with the lockdowns from the pandemic and certainly the administration we've got going right now and all of the crazy decisions that are being made we were in an attempt to try to start creating things in the United States again to solve these problems. We made some headway in that in 4 years, but we're kind of going quickly backwards in a hurry. And I think just the fact that we can't get other countries to ship to us all these products that we've become dependent on, that's a whole nother discussion, but certainly plays into the whole picture because it doesn't matter what you're talking about. I mean, try to buy a refrigerator.
Oh, I know.
A simple electric skillet becomes a major thing because all of a sudden you can't get any of them in because all the parts come from other places. They just across the board.
Well, that Suez Canal issue, shipping is still a major problem. There are still ships that can't get into port to unload their product. That I saw an article the other day, and that they say could be 3 or 4 more months before the shipping is back to where it was.
Because of that tangle.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's products sitting at sea that they can't unload.
No, there's no question that a lot of this, the world politics that we're going through at this point is having an impact on all these things, not the least of which is real estate.
Absolutely. The other item when we were talking about building and that, it takes so long anymore. You can try and do a subdivision, but you're easily 2 years out, 2.5 years out to have a subdivision shovel ready. We have a industrial project out on Rancho and Airport, a 21-lot industrial park. We've been in the city for over 2 years now. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Something that should be done in 6 months.
And you're singing my song now because that was the issue that I swear to, it was the hardest thing for me to deal with when I was on the city council in Anderson and on the Board of Supervisors for 16 years. That was I kept on that on a daily basis. Why do you have to do it this way? Why can't there be a checklist? Why can't there be a, this is what you have to do, this is what you need, how you need to do it, meet the codes we're required by law through state and federal, but don't make them any worse just because it's Redding or Anderson or Shasta County. What is it they teach in planning school that makes this impossible to get there?
I think it's called job security. Every time somebody thinks they're done, they add 10 more conditions.
And
why weren't those conditions requested up front, and it happens on every project?
Well, you're absolutely right, and there's a simple solution to that, you know.
Fire them all.
Well, you get elected people who say, this is what you must do. You must have this is everything you're going to have to do, and you only get one bite at the apple. If you don't get it on your first list, too bad, you missed it.
That would be wonderful.
Well, I tried for 20 years, and I got to tell you, I just didn't make a lot of headway with it.
No, and that continues. I remember, it's been 6 months ago, 8 months ago, the council talked about adding park fees to commercial and industrial properties for the first time. And Cameron, my brother Rob, and I were the three that went down and spoke against that. The year before, there had only been 8 commercial permits. And I said, you know, you all ran on economic growth. How do you think this helps growth when right now, you know, the margins on a lot of these projects are razor thin, and every time you add something like this, it makes that many more projects not viable.
Yeah.
And they voted 3-2, boom, it was over, and we now have fees on commercial and industrial.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling to me, and I like I said, I could never figure it out. I would sit and I would go through the whole process with them and explain to me why it can't be a simple. I mean, you got to know everything. How many times do you have to do these different things to learn everything that you have to look at? You have to do this, this, and this. You have to do that. We're a little long on this. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was.
Live American history at Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, American Adventure 1607. Actively explore the fates of early colonists in North America through a blend of gameplay and authentic history. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Mama Bear deserves more than just one day of celebration, so we're offering moms month-long specials at Black Bear Diner. Start with a momlet, a fluffy three-egg omelet made with delicious smoked bacon, mushroom, tomato, avocado, and cheddar cheese. Or grab a chickadee chicken sandwich. Crispy golden chicken tenders on a brioche bun, topped with American cheese, bacon, mayo, and house-made bacon ranch dressing. Top it off with a mocha cream pie. Offered all month, anytime, any day at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I always like the introduction to the music, like to listen to it a little while. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Trish Clark this morning. It is Friday morning. Usually only do on Thursdays, but Carl and Linda are out today celebrating Linda's birthday. So happy birthday to Linda. And I'm here with Bruce and Cameron Middleton, and we're talking all things real estate and all of the above. If you've got a question you'd like to talk them, give them a call at 605-4567. So what else we got to talk about this morning?
Well, there's certainly a lot of other projects that we're seeing around town, some commercial projects, some other, I think one of the things we're going to start to see is a little bit of a changing landscape with regards to how commercial real estate is sort of allocated within the city. You know, we've always focused for a very long time on retail. And what we're seeing here after the pandemic and then with the real rise in online shopping is we're probably going to start to see somewhat of a reduction, at least temporarily, if not permanently, in retail square footage. I think we're going to start to see some of that decline. Now, again, you've got Costco that really just was fully finally approved and given the clear go-ahead on Tuesday. That will increase some footage. They're a little bit of a different animal. But I think the one, too, that we're watching very closely is office space.
Mm-hmm.
And office space is going to be very interesting. You know, you look nationwide, and there's been a very large increase in vacancies in terms of office space, more people working from home. Now, I think not all office space is the same. Certainly when we look at San Francisco specifically, a lot of the big tech outfits have said, you know, what was it? I think it was Pinterest said, we're going to pay $90 million to get out of a lease for a huge portion of a building and said, we just want out of the lease. We'll pay you what we owe you. We're out. We're not going to continue to do that. Our people are leaving.
The building was to be built. And they had committed to a lease, and it was specifically going to be built for them. And they backed out and paid $89.5 million to get out of that lease.
Yeah.
And I see in the Bay Area, too, I read recently where I think it was 7.8 million square feet of office space up for sublet. And so, you know, we're seeing a little of that here, too.
But, we talked a little bit in the first hour about the advantages and disadvantages of this people working from home. I know from my own just small experience, I still run the Frontier Senior Center in Anderson. And so we're a small operation, mm-hmm. but I have had so many issues with insurance companies, yeah. state fund, IRS, charitable trust, with people working at home and loss of paperwork. things that, because, we get down to the bottom of, I'm getting a notice of cancellation on a policy, for something I didn't do or didn't, you know, and I go back and I check with, okay, the treasurer, I check with the person that does payroll and did we do that? Yeah, we did it. And after 3 weeks of me not sleeping and scared to death, I'm going to lose my nonprofit license or my insurance policy, find out that they lost the paperwork. But they're not going to admit that. And almost always when you get to the point where you can talk to somebody that will listen and try to solve your problem for, they're working from home and they're frustrated because they don't have access to everything. Stuff's getting lost in the shuffle.
And I think that's a big part of it. I think you look, you know, locally we have a lot of small offices, small businesses, not necessarily large corporate multi-floor, office space tenants. You know, if you've got an architect's office, they want to go in, have their drafting board, everything else. They're going to go into the office. Your local CPA, I think they're going to be going through. I've got boxes and boxes of files, tax returns. Let's do it from the office. So I don't think we're going to see as much of a reduction here. I think the other one, too, that I'm hearing fairly universally is we are sick of Zoom meetings.
Oh, people are...
Yeah, had it to hear. So people are going to start to meet again. They're going to want office space to be able to do that. I think even the major CEOs that they've talked to nationwide and some of the very large commercial brokerage firms have gone out, interviewed these CEOs and said, what do you anticipate? And they say, you know, we might see up to a 10% reduction. You know, in the next year, we'll get back to about 10% from where we were in terms of the number of people in the office or the amount of time spent in the office. And really, even if you see a 10% reduction, normal growth will cover that distance in the next maybe 5-10 years, what have you. And I think in Redding, Shasta County, it won't be nearly that severe. The one that we're still seeing tremendous upward pressure on is industrial. And I think that's really a big signal for this area and a good sign for us. We're seeing really warehouse, the type of buildings where you've got a little bit of office or showroom in the front, mm-hmm. and a warehouse or shop in the back, that type of thing. Very high demand, very low supply of that. So we are starting to see a number of other businesses and industrial uses that are coming into the area and that are doing quite well. And I think that's a good sign for Shasta County to see that we've got that type of growth. So even the commercial landscape for real estate right now is pretty varied. Again, we've got office that's kind of lukewarm. We've got retail that's a bit cool, but the industrial is really taking off.
But I do see a lot of people who have been let go from a lot of these large companies. Some of them got severance packages. Some of them have decided to move into these areas. I'm seeing a lot of entrepreneurship, ideas for small businesses that people are coming up with, and they're going to need space, commercial kitchens or office space or those kind of different things where they can start a small business and get out of that rat race of I think a lot of what you're finding of people moving up here, buying these homes, is people that are done with the big city and...
But I think too, they'll be filling existing vacant space. You look at Stillwater Park, there's more activity right now, and it was speculated that the entire park could be sold out within the next 6 months. The drawback is material cost. If you can't afford to build, I think we're going to see a serious slowdown on any type of building like that. The other night at the council meeting when I spoke in favor of Costco, they're ready to go. But it had been over 5 years since escrow was opened on that property. And that is a serious drawback, too.
Cost money.
Well, time and money.
Time and money.
Time and money. And, my God, you know, 5 years for a Costco.
And that was after they switched from Oasis. And how many years were
they wasted
with that?
10 years up there.
Exactly. More,
yeah, you'd talk frustration level. You know, I thank them for their perseverance and their tenacity for staying the course. You know, we've had a lot of companies come to Redding and through our front door that really took a look around and wanted to do something here and left frustrated because it wasn't viable. It's not going to work. We had one a couple of years ago from Washington State who had been voted the number one business in their area, and they just came back and bought the Shopko building. And by buying an existing building below market value, they can afford to fix it up and utilize that. They wanted to build a complex here in Reading. Didn't work.
And if you, depending upon the use, if you can come up with a way that you can retrofit a building, you could, as an example for whatever business they're going to do, mm-hmm. a lot of the time there was a lot of criticism to the city of Reading when they didn't use some of those buildings to retrofit them to say for the police department. Those kind of uses, you can't take an older building and retrofit them
exactly.
to meet the qualities yeah. that you need for a police department. Or, you know,
yeah, there's emergency standards.
Emergency, exactly. Yeah. But just other than that, it would probably be reasonable if the building is not too old.
Yeah.
And we certainly
yeah.
do have some vacant retail space, usable space in Reading.
And we'll see, too. We have within the next, starting this year, we should start. It's been 20 years since the City of Reading General Plan was last approved. So, and of course, that's always a living document, if you will. It's constantly being amended. But we're going to go do a full revision of that. Of that.
Well, it's a little
plan.
Behind time because I think the state requires it more often than 20 years.
Well, not for the general plan specifically. The housing element
okay.
has to be done every 5, and now I think it's gone to every 3. And I've sat on that subcommittee. I think you've done that as well to go over that housing element portion. But in terms of the overall general plan, really you should do them about every 20 years, and that's
okay.
where we're at. And I think some of those conversations are gonna be a factor, and how we approach that and how we do that. I think in some of these cases we are going to see some areas that may have been retail, may have been office, maybe switching over to maybe a residential or something like that. And that'll be very interesting to see. And I just hope that the trouble I always find is that sometimes when things are good, it's very easy for government to say, let's increase fees, let's try and get a little bit more out of some of these entities, and then you get other forces like maybe a increase in material costs, increase in interest rates, difficulty getting labor, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves, wait a minute, we're not building or doing anything, and we've set up a structure that's too difficult to get through. So
okay.
we'll see how it goes.
Okay, well, this portion of the show has been brought to us by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Judy Maxwell has been there, does a beautiful job for all of these things. They're located at 1378 Hilltop Drive next to Members First Credit Union. Give her a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back after these messages.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, Queen, now $1,799. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Shasta County, my name is Melody Fowler, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Ricker, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures at local events, shops, and in your neighborhood. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org today.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Our tribute concert series lineup will keep you entertained with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Performing today's pop charts, rock and roll, classics to country music.
Amarillo, I'll be there.
Tickets 15 each or a table of 10 for $130. Lineup and tickets on sale at windriver.com.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you've got a real estate question, give us a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show is brought to us by Powerhouse Solar. They're an elite dealer for sun power, solar energy, makes financial sense, and you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. Now you can get the sun power, sun vault battery, and solar with financing. Keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever with Powerhouse Solar. Give them a call today, 275-5600. That's 275-5600. I'm here this morning, and the final thing, where did this hour go? Got Bruce and Cameron Middleton, and we've been talking about all things real estate and a few other topics as they come along as well. So anyway, it's interesting to know. The final words to people out there, if you've got a house, now's a good time, you're thinking about selling, now is certainly the time to do that. Tips for people about what they need to do to get ready to sell their house.
Well, it varies right now. And you really have to, the number one thing is consult with your agent. Go through, take a look and say, all right, boy, I can go ahead and put in some new paint. Maybe a little flooring needs to be done and really spruce the house up and get a higher price point without doing very much at all. In other cases, we see people that go through and they paint every room. They go through, let's put in all new cabinets. Especially with the material costs being where they are, they can go ahead and put, $20,000 into the house, and they may not necessarily get an added 20 in this market that they otherwise would get. So you really want to go through with your agent what items are the most cost effective that I'm going to see a return on, and which ones am I not going to see a return on. Because in this market as well, for example, I had a client who had a house that was not in very good shape. We'll just say it had real problems. Now that would be an opportunity for an investor, for a flipper, somebody go do a fixer upper and really find some value and do that. He could have gone in and completely cherried out that house and done all the work, gotten it, and would have gotten top dollar. But instead he kind of went about halfway. He did some of the work, got it okay to where it was decent, but he didn't actually get it to top notch. He did a little bit too much for a fixer or flipper to now come in and want that house, but not quite enough to get that top dollar.
Right.
So you really want to go over that with your agent and take a look. And, of course, the main thing is have it presentable. You want a good, presentable house. A lot of people right now, I've got a lot of young buyers who go in and they don't know how to turn a wrench. So they're going, hey, I'm not handy. I want a turnkey house.
Right.
If you're close to turnkey but not quite there, make a turnkey. Get it ready to where someone can walk right in and live in it day one. That's a big difference right there.
Well, I think a lot of it, there's simple things to do. Declutter is one. I mean, we go into homes that you have to go sideways down the hall and you're thinking, you know, I can't see the house. Landscaping, you know, curb appeal.
Curb appeal.
Yeah. You drive up, oh, it looks fresh and it's maintained. And, you know,
simple things like knocking down the cobwebs and washing the windows.
Absolutely. Yeah. Things like that. You know, you can do all those things for less than $1,000 and makes a big difference.
How about a home inspection? Do you want to do that before or after your...
Generally, the buyer will do that. We prefer to have the listings that I do. I have a pest inspection done. Some are a lot more reasonable than others. And so by me picking, you know, I can get somebody that I trust that is not going to try and retire after the job.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Termites everywhere.
Yeah. Only thing holding up the house is the paint.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just get it prepared. In this market, it's going to sell probably for more than what it's worth, but, just, you know, general cleanliness. Make it, you know, appear clean.
In a lot of instances, if, you know, carpet, paint, those kind of things, a lot of women, I know I'm one of them, I don't think you could have a house that I wouldn't want to go in and do a few personal touches anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Change
yeah.
the color of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Maybe change a countertop here, this
yeah.
and that. I don't think they build a perfect house.
Well,
that's we wouldn't want a personal
house. Yeah, that's the other thing. The buyer's going to make it their house.
Yeah.
I've seen people go in and put carpet in, and people will, brand new carpet, and they walk in and say, you know, I think I want vinyl flooring. And they just spent $6,000 on carpet throughout the house, and they're going to rip it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, be sensible. Think about this. But, yeah, whoever buys the house is going to make it their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have to do that overnight. I tell people, hey, yeah, I understand what you want to do. You know, in today's market and costs and everything else, you don't need to do it all now. Do it over a period of time.
You know, and I think as far as the supply of materials and stuff, I do believe once we can get to a place where we get past this pandemic and open up the markets, the Suez Canal issue, all of those things, we are going to see into that. I'm an optimist. I think we're going to see it sooner rather than later because I don't think this whole thing's over. I think that there's going to be some changes made. I don't know how ridiculous it can get under this administration and expect that people are going to continue to say, well, you know, it is what it is. I think immediately somebody's going to finally say, hey, this is not working.
I think rates are going to have to go up. Inflation scares me.
I think we're going to have to do so, yeah.
You know, I know roofing went up, you know, $6 a square April 1st. It's going up again June 1st. So for a while, you know, till it all shakes out, it's too expensive. And you know, gasoline yesterday was over $4 a gallon.
I will tell you the one bit of satisfaction I'm getting is I have some friends back in Virginia that used to periodically send me when they get gas, they'd send me the picture of the $1.98.
Yeah.
I'm kind of enjoying sending them my $3.89 now because they're getting hit with seven bucks
$7
a gallon back there.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying sending them in the other direction now.
Well, and I would say that is... You bring up price. That is the one other thing I would say is that there is such a thing, even in a market like this, of being too high.
Yeah.
And you still can overshoot. Sometimes people go, oh gosh, everybody's getting 10 offers. They're all over it. My house is worth 300, but let's ask for 4. That can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why. If you put a house at, you know, far too high, say 400,000, when it really should go around 300 or say 330, and you say, well, let's just wait and see what happens. See if I get that crazy out of the area buyer. Then you wait 2, 3, 4 weeks and say, all right, let's lower it 10,000. still no activity. You wait another month. Now all of a sudden you go, all right, I'm clearly too high. Let's drop it another 25,000. Let's get back, start getting down in the right range. Well, now the same question, and we see this happen, and that listing agent gets the same phone call multiple times a day once it's in the right range. This has been on the market for 90 days.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. And so you can make a mistake by doing that. Two philosophies.
Don't get greedy.
Two philosophies when you price a house. One is you price it high and leave room to negotiate down. The other one is you price it low and start the bidding war, put the meat out to the wolves, and let them come in and have them bid up to the right price. In this kind of market, you can do the latter and really should. But if you're too high, you do run the risk down the road of making it difficult to sell because it's been on the market too long.
There you go.
Yeah. How many times have I heard, you know, let's list it here. You can always go down, but you're not going to go up. And I'm thinking, yeah, but that's not the right foot. Listings become stale.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. This has been enjoyable. The hour went by so quickly. Love doing it. Thank you all for joining us. See you next week. Carl always says, the good guys are the bad guys, which are you.
At the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.